This morning, I want to continue from where we left off last week, talking about love. Today, I want to touch on an aspect, the choices love makes. The choices that love makes. I don't know if I can cover all the choices according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 7. But maybe we'll talk about one of them. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 7, I read, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, it's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Verse 7 especially is what I want to concentrate on this morning. These are four cardinal choices that love makes. Bears all things. Believes all things. Love hopes all things. And endures all things. I pray that the Lord will pass through me, from my mouth to your ears, to your heart, this indelible word that will not just hear it, but will become a life-changing moment for us, in Jesus' mighty name. Love that is well directed has the power to upgrade anybody's life. Love is a life and destiny upgrader. When you see a lover, you see somebody going higher. Because love is supernatural, has supernatural nature in it. It has the ability to take you and I to a higher level. When your lifestyle is that of love and giving, I have to add that to it. There is no way you see true love, pure love, that giving is not his first nature. You can give without loving, but there is no way you are going to love without giving. It's impossible. Praise the Lord. When you follow giving with love, you position yourself for dominion. Praise the Lord. And you know, a love lifestyle is God's lifestyle. That's God's kind of life. That's the love is the first nature of God. I can tell you that nature was seen in the beginning, and that nature was also seen in the Garden of Eden. And that nature was seen also as John said it to us in John 3:16. "In the beginning God created the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit moved. He brooded over it, and God spoke." God created everything. And you wonder, why did he create everything before he created man? It was love that made him create everything first before he created man. He made everything for you. He made everything for me. God created this earth for us. So, number one, as to show us his love, and also for us to reciprocate our love to him. When Adam fell and Eve, and they sowed fig leaves, how many fig leaves will they sow? Will they tear? But then, it is only by the shedding of the blood that there is a remission of sin. God had to kill an innocent animal by himself and made the covering for man. He covered their shame. Love covers shame. And then John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, in those three instances alone, and there are more than that, we see God giving. Praise the Lord. Every one of us, we have a responsibility to pursue after God. Pursue knowing God and committing to obeying him. I was meditating on this and this phrase dropped into my spirit, man. That if you feel empty at any point in time, check your love level. Check your love for God. There's no way your heart is beating for God that you are going to feel empty. I'm going to say some things this morning that I'm hoping and praying that you will catch it and understand it. If you look at somebody or you look to somebody else to fill a void inside you, nobody can fill the void that only love can fill. People can fill you with things in the name of love. But you know what? It never lasts. It does not last. Only the love of God lasts forever. That's why he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's something you can take to the bank. Many years ago, I preached a message titled, Does God Care? And we were able to look through scriptures. And we began to find out many instances to show that God cares. The sun shining, coming out today. Daylight today already shows the love of God. Can you imagine everything was total darkness? The plants will die. We will have no oxygen to breathe in. God so loved us so much. He put the sun over 3 million miles away. And yet, in the brightest of the noontime, we could feel the heat of the sun. When the sun is blaring, God put the sun at a distance that it will benefit us. If it comes closer an inch, we probably will burn. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. People who can't receive love, check them. There are people who can't give love. If you know how to give love, you know how to receive love, you won't be suspicious of genuine love. And one thing also that I know, love helps you to know God better. Love helps you to hear God better. You might ask me and say, Pastor, how does love make me to know God better? How does love make me to hear God better? Love does all those things because the one you love, you spend time with. Praise the Lord. The one you love, you think about. The one you love, you speak to from time to time. Hallelujah. Love is a relationship enhancer. Amen. Between God and our fellow mankind. Love enhances. Let me get to some brass tacks this morning. Because you love doesn't mean your love will not be tested. Even love between two people will be tested. Love between mankind is always tested. The love between God and Job was tested. It was tested by doubts, tested by disease, tested by disagreements. Love can be tested by disappointments. Love can be tested by depression, by despair, by debts. You suddenly find your spouse getting a credit card in your name and going on a spending spree to damage your credit. And then apart from your name, even if he uses his name and you don't know that he has a secret credit card, it's going to affect the collective financial position of the family. Death. Two people who say they love each other and they know that God wants them to be married, but they are still not married. You know why? Because one of them is carrying more debt than the other. Go and sort out your debt before we come here into this relationship. Debt tests love. What about distance? Distance puts a lot of pressure on your love. Many relationships have been destroyed because of distance. And there are so many, many other situations. That love will be tested. You say you love me. I say I love you. Situations will happen in the home that will test us. Maybe sometimes your spouse might do something and suddenly you begin to remember what your mother told you, that maybe you shouldn't marry him, and you begin to have doubt after 4 children. Hallelujah. I don't know where you want to throw those children. Praise God. Love. Love is a decision. It's a decision. Those of you who think love is a feeling, you're wrong. Love is a decision each of us make. When God says we should love, God is asking us to make a conscious and intentional decision. God is not saying, I want you to feel butterflies in your stomach, because times will come when there are no butterflies at all. That doesn't mean love is not there. Amen. Is anybody here who can command a feeling? Nobody can command feelings. That is why you can't pray to God and say, Lord, make so and so to love me. God doesn't have that kind of power. Because God cannot and will not control somebody else's emotion. That is because we look at it as an emotion, but it is not an emotion. Love exudes emotion, but love itself is not emotion. Love produces feelings. Over time, people have misinterpreted it. We have allowed our feelings to determine how much we love. The feelings we have determine how much love we show. Whereas it's supposed to be the other way around. Our love is supposed to determine how much feelings we show. Praise the Lord. When you let your feelings determine how much you love somebody, then you are in the wrong. Your love is supposed to determine the kind of feelings that you show and the level of feeling that you give. Praise the Lord. Don't let your feeling determine. Because one thing I know for a certainty, feelings come and feelings go. You may feel one way this moment. What if you don't feel like that in the next 2 hours? Because you have encountered what I call an emotional implantation that has changed the chemistry of your being at the time. Love surpasses feelings. And maybe some things happen in your life, and the way you felt made you determine or conclude on a person. You have made a wrong choice. You have made a wrong choice. If you do not love, it's a choice you made yourself. Don't blame it on somebody else. You decided. And most of the time, we let our feelings run us aground. Especially when we feel betrayed, when we feel doubt, when we feel disappointed. You know, it makes us make decisions on the whim. And sometimes our feelings makes us make decisions without getting the whole fact of a situation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In the God's Word translation, I like the God's Word translation. It says, love never stops being patient. That's something I want to hone on today. Love never stops being patient. When I began to study this, like I said to us last week and the week before, I began to look at my life. You know, sometimes you think you are at a particular level, but when you begin to look at yourself through the mirror, through the prism of the Word of God, you begin to see a whole lot of your deficiencies. That, bro, you are not there. You are not there. Job said, I used to hear of you, now I've seen you. I hate myself. I used to think I'm righteous. But when I began to look at myself by your standard, I'm very, very far from it. Praise the Lord. Love never stops being patient. When I thought about that, the first thing that came to my mind were my children. They test your patience. They push your patience to the boundary, to beyond the boundaries. They break the boundary. They want their own thing and they keep on asking you all over again in spite of the answer you are giving. But love that never stops being patient is the kind of love that God has for you and for me. The love that never stops being patient is the love that keeps giving second chances. Second chances. Upon second chances. This is called grace in action. It brings grace into the fray. True grace, if you must know, it's not critical. That can be a blow for many of us. We're in love, but we're critical. Grace is not critical. Grace is correcting. Grace is patient. I was with a bishop a couple of years ago, and he was telling a story of one of the great pioneers of revival in Nigeria. I don't want to mention his name. He was blind, a prophet of the highest order, anointed of the Lord. But from the story I heard, his wife was a different character. Himself and the wife went to visit somebody. And she left home. She left the place to go to the market. But they have prepared food for the prophet. And as the prophet was about to eat the food, the wife came in and said, "Ah, are you eating? But I'm about to make your food." Even though the prophet knows that the wife doesn't know how to cook, he had already started eating the food. Then he pushed the food away. "Ah, it's too salty. Ah, I don't want. Go and bring your own food." But he knew that he would not enjoy his wife's food. But he has been enduring it for, you know, praise the Lord. But then, why did he do it? People around him asked him later. He said to them, "When you grow older, you will understand. You always have to cover for your spouse. If not, you'll be in danger with God." Praise the Lord. You know? Love, not critical. So, if your wife gives you food, there's no salt. "Oh, honey, this is nice. This is nice. maybe what I will do, I'm a very, very upfront person. You know, maybe I'll just let my wife leave the area. Then I'll go to the kitchen and get tiny salt. I put it there." You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. My wife is a good cook. She overfeeds me. I told the workers this morning. She says she wants me to eat like the Koreans. You know how Koreans eat? Everything all over the table. You know? Overwhelming. Praise the Lord. No relationship can last without grace. No relationship can last without forbearing. No relationship can last without forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Have you wondered why God is patient with you? Have you thought about it? Why is God patient with you? Even when you knew that you are backslided, but you are managing to from back and come back, but you know you are far from it, and you wonder, why is God still patient with me? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering." Why? To us, why? "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me give him another opportunity. He will change. Let me give her another opportunity. She will change. Let me give them another opportunity. They will change." In Jonah's book, Nineveh was supposed to have been destroyed. And God said, "Go and preach to them. They will repent." No, Jonah said, "No, they won't repent. I'm going to Tarshish." Until God sent him back. And then he preached to them, not thinking that they will repent. And right before his eyes, he saw these same people change their ways. God never gives up on anybody. God, who is perfect, never gives up on the imperfect. What about now the imperfect giving up on the imperfect? You that you are being critical, it's not as if you are perfect. You are pointing fingers into somebody else's eye. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Some men categorize their wives unlovable after they've had children. Maybe when they met, she was size 12. And now, she's size whatever. And she's trying to use, what do the women wear? What do they call it? Spanx or body magic to pack everything in, and the man doesn't think she's attractive, but he forgets that he was a culprit. He was one of those people who turned the woman like that. If you wanted her to be the way you want her, you met her the first day. Don't impregnate her. Have no children. Both of you eat salad every day. Praise the Lord. A time is coming, you are all going to grow old and appreciate one another. And sometimes the older you get, the less you can hear well. Praise the Lord. You can roll from your own side of bed and say, hey, honey, I love you. And your wife say, well, I'm tired of you too. No, I didn't say I'm tired of you. I said I love you. The hearing has gone. Praise the Lord. Our looks will change. Our frames will change. But true love doesn't change. Praise the Lord. It does not change. Amen. God keeps showing us grace. God keeps giving us second chances. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. Have you not thought about it? The moment grace ceases, His mercy stops, and judgment will fall. Grace is what is holding judgment from falling on us. Hallelujah. Shouldn't we be gracious to one another? That's what love is. Love bears all things. It doesn't mean we won't talk about it. It means we can figure it out. The Bible says in Psalm 130, verse 3 to 4, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, oh Lord, who could stand? He says, but there is forgiveness with you so that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with you. Not one day forgiveness. More than the drops in the ocean, forgiveness every day. Peter said, how much can my brother offend me before I say it's enough? Jesus says 70 times 70. And if one person can really annoy you that much, then you know that that person needs a different kind of deliverance. Praise the Lord. When we are irritable, guess what? God extends grace. And He expects you and I to do likewise. Sometimes the person you are close to can be irritable. Extend grace. Because sometimes you too can be irritable and grace is extended to you. Extend grace to your spouse. You know, we men, maybe I'm the only one that does it. You get home, you just remove your shoe wherever you sit down, and your socks, and then your wife begins to pick up after you, and begin to pick up. And that can be irritable. Some people have divorced because of toothpaste. Why are you pressing it in the middle? Why not press it from the bottom? Oh, when you tinkle, why don't you clean up? You always put the toilet seat down, and this and that. All those things are irritations. And many people don't endure that, and they destroy it. For me, putting my socks everywhere, I begin to learn my lessons. Because when I want to dress up now, I find one leg. I can't find the other one. So I said, oh, I see. So I have to be putting them together now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When people hurt us with their words and their actions, let's extend grace. It may be painful. It may not be easy. But it's a choice we have to make. You see, it's not, we don't make those choices because of how we feel at that time. You see, we make those choices because of love. Amen. Have you not noticed that most times people say things they don't really mean? They just say them because of how they felt at the moment. People who allow their feelings to drive everything they do. And when the dust settles, oh, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to say that. And if your spouse wants to make it painful for you, we'll say, I know. I know. You know. I know it's your clock moment. That's what my wife always said to me. I know it's your clock moment. That thing really used to hit me bad. And I said, you know what? I mean, for a long time now, she's not been able to say your clock moment anymore. Because I've learned my lesson. Praise the Lord. Because, another thing feelings can do is, that's what you did last week. You know, you know, instead of being hysterical, you become historical. You begin to talk history. And then my wife would mind, so, but come on. I said, okay, if I did anything, tell me. She said, well, I choose not to remember. And that will pain you more. Praise the Lord. Now you are proving that you are the bigger person here now, right? I'm a kid. Okay. It won't happen again. Praise the Lord. I know you're going to be like, Pastor, can we talk about you? Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 9, love prospers. I'm using the New Living Translation. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates close friends. Love prospers. The integrity of love is protected when a fault is forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. Also, from the New Living Translation. Says, always be humble and gentle. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. Because of your love, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. Give yourselves allowance. God gave us allowance every day. We receive our allowance of mercy. We receive our allowance of grace. Hallelujah. God makes grace allowances for our faults. Everybody needs an allowance. Amen. You are meant to give your spouse some allowance. And one thing else is this. If you know and learn how to give grace, how to extend grace, it gives you the ability to listen. To listen to what the other person is saying. To listen to what they are trying to say. Grace creates an environment for dialogue. But if we don't talk, if we don't say things, we won't find a common place. Even God said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. Let us talk. How could God, the creator of the ends of the earth, say, come? Come, let's talk. It is grace that creates that atmosphere whereby us and God can dialogue. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, and so on and so forth. So the love of God, the grace of God, invites us to a discussion. So why can't we invite each other into a discussion with the intention to create a better atmosphere, not a discussion with the intention to destroy what we have. God's intention for the discussion was simply to forgive. Come, let's talk. Let's reason. I will wipe away your sins. I won't remember it anymore. There will be no history of your wrong. Just come, talk to me about it. Praise the Lord. Love does not apportion blame. And like I said, love does not record and keep it for when the time is right. I will hit you back. You think I will forget? I will hit you back. Praise the Lord. I told us the lesson God taught me. I had this phone that is stored with evidence. I knew that God was telling me, get rid of this thing. But I wouldn't. You know? Especially when you want to feel good, like I'm the one being wronged here. Righteous guy. You know? You start looking at it over. You see? I remember that day. I didn't do nothing. Look at. This is the evidence to myself. Until I went to Nigeria. My friend and I, we went to the Palms here. Palms. That's where they call it. Went to a restaurant. Sat down with my phone. I had forgotten I was in Lagos. You know. And put it on the side. As we finished eating. And our waiter came to pack up the empty plates. He packed my phone with it. Like, lock down the whole place. There is evidence. Evidence is missing. You know, you do big boy in Lagos. You know, you see some people just come back from America. Oh, I just came back yesterday. Who cares? Everybody too just came back. You know, like the guy who stood at a machine bus stop. Wanted a taxi to Papa Jow. Taxi, Papi Jow. Papi Jao was there for like 3 hours. Until, praise the Lord. So God deliberately made it that evidence disappeared. That was when I could really move forward. That was when I could move forward with my life. The evidences began to fade. They began to fade until I remembered them no more. Praise the Lord. Love makes a choice to be patient. Next week, Sunday, maybe I won't be the one preaching. I'm sure I won't be the one preaching. Dr. Neil will be preaching. He's trying to give me excuses why he won't. So everybody, Dr. Oni's ministry next week. Amen. And we shall be continuing in the choices that love makes. Hallelujah. What kind of choices have you been making? Even when you look at yourself, do you really think you love yourself? Are you equating loving yourself with your achievement or with how you look? Or things that have happened in your life. There are things we need to let go. God wants to give you a clean slate. God wants to give you a new beginning. Yes, you have been hurt before. Because somebody hurt you. Hurt you in love. Disappointed you in love. Does not mean that there's nobody else out there who can give you genuine love. Your life is not tied to one particular person. Your life is only tied to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Don't let the damage somebody did to you affect the rest of your being. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve that kind of abuse. I said to us at the beginning, it's going to get better. I say it's going to get better. Amen. All is well. Amen. I say all is well. Amen. Because love is at work. Amen.